Potty here. Where to begin? Whenever I was young, I think about 9 years old, 8 years old, a friend of the family who had been a friend of my dad's for many years. They'd worked together, you know, they'd, I think, grown up together pretty much. And let's call him Barry, because that rhymes with his real name, which is Flarry, weirdly enough. So they were saying, oh, Barry's coming over today. Barry lived about, 45 minutes away, but, back in the 80s, that was a distance. So they're like, oh, Barry's coming over to visit today with his wife. And they're acting a bit odd because they were saying that Barry had ME. There's this thing. There'd been, I was, like I said, about 8 or 9 years old. And I understood that this was something that was heavy. This was a heavy deal. Because the tone in the way my parents talked about Barry changed when they talked about him having this ME. Didn't know what ME stood for. But I knew there was something heavy had happened since we'd last seen Barry. He was a happy, everybody always spoke of him in very happy, bright, joyful terms. And now there was a different tone when they talked about this Barry chap. And it seemed to be down to this ME, of which I knew very, very little, except for a name, and that it was something that should be treated with a heavy tone in one's voice. So Barry turned up and I popped into the room to say hello, and there was Barry sitting on the ground in some shorts, and until the age of whatever 10 years ago, that was ME for me. It meant a guy in shorts sitting cross-legged. I've got a similar thing about deaf people and the cheesy snack Watsits, but we'll save that for another day. But never knew anything about ME. It never crossed my doorway again. I never thought about Barry that often. And I never really took any time. It just wasn't on my radar whatsoever, ME. Until, of course, I was diagnosed with it about 6 years ago now. So here I am today. Gone from, Barry sitting cross-legged in my front room in a pair of shorts, and that's what ME is, to having had to re-examine, reassess, and reconsider my goals, my current goals in life, my ambitions, my ambitions in a lofty, grand scheme sense, as well as my ambitions for each morning I wake up for that day, because of this illness, ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, whatever you want to call it. There's quite a few other names that I'm sure we'll get onto on this little conversation, this little journey that we've started here today. But yeah, I got diagnosed with ME about 5 or 6 years ago on the back of what must have been a decade of really appalling sickness record at work. You could set your watch to it that I would be ill at a certain time in a month with these like really heavy flu-like symptoms, is how I used to describe it. So I would have these flu-like symptoms that would knock me on my arse, and I wouldn't be able to focus, so I just didn't have the energy to do anything, to get to work, to perform in work, to concentrate in work or play, I would go to the doctor and apart from maybe occasionally frequently carrying a little bit too much weight on me and that a doctor might recommend, I was healthy. I was able to run. I enjoyed running. I enjoyed, occasional kick of a football or something like that. I was not an unfit person. I was not an unhealthy person. I was fairly unhealthy because, I enjoyed a good bit of alcohol and nicotine, but, the foibles of youth, and I was able to press on through. But this thing, this monthly reliable change in condition that you could set your watch by, it knocked me on my rear end, and there was no rhyme or reason for it happening. It was not preceded by any thing that might suggest, you're probably going to get ill in a bit. You know, it just came upon me, and that was that. And for so long, I labored under this. You know, it screwed with me massively as far as work was concerned, because I was a very good employee, dare I say it, in the various places I worked. But my sickness record was absolutely atrocious. You know, managers were constantly saying, you know, you're here, you could be here if you were not ill all the time. So, and it was confusing because I knew that I didn't feel that ill except for during these periods whenever I couldn't get out of bed. But all the rest of the time I felt fine, you know, and doctors generally agreed with that diagnosis. So I didn't know what to do until it got really, really bad, and those regular monthly changes of condition became longer. You know, the wellness got shorter, the illness got longer. Luckily, a place I was working for at the time offered a type of private medical thing. And I got my, I had all my blood tests and everything done. And I got a letter. I remember I was on holiday at the time, actually, and I got this letter that I brought along with me. And I opened up this letter, and it was from the doctors, and it said, you know, we have diagnosed you with having ME. And well, again, I immediately thought of Barry and the shorts. Luckily, I was in Italy. It was quite warm wearing shorts, so that was all fine. I was all ready for ME, really. I just needed to sit down cross-legged and boom, you know. I was really delighted, I have to be honest, to have a diagnosis. I think a lot of people can identify with this in some cases. A lot of people in some cases. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I think quite a few people would get identification with this. Having a mystery illness that baffles you and doctors to finally have a diagnosis, any diagnosis. In the short term, the immediate reaction for me was one of relief. Relief because, you know, finally I had something I could hang me hat on, which meant, of course, and my mind was moving very quickly upon reading this one sentence, meant, you know, things could be done about this, cures can be applied, that sort of thing. Also, it meant that I was ill, and that was massive, because whenever I was ill and couldn't go to work, but the doctors could find nothing wrong with me, that screwed around with me, as it would. A lot of questioning. I work very hard to be an honest person. I really do. Honesty is very important to me. And I felt I was being honest in saying, you know, I can't go to work today. I can't participate in this or that. I felt I was being honest, but the doctors they weren't obviously saying, hey, you know, you're full of crap. But the medical tests were suggesting that could be a possibility, let's say. And that was very difficult too. So to open this letter that I received from these private doctors and see in that line, you know, we're diagnosing you with ME, that was really good. It was also, you know, it was a lot of letters. It didn't say ME, it said blah, 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 encephalitis. I really, before turning the microphone on, should have made sure I remember what the illness I'm talking about is, how it's pronounced. Shall we say chronic fatigue syndrome? It's not as fun, is it? It's not as cool an illness. You know, there's another one I know as well with four letters, I think. Well, we're going to get experts on here to talk about this, you know. I'm just a guy with an illness and a microphone. So, you know. So, where was I? Why am I looking at the microphone to give me an answer to that? So, yeah, it was a lot of letters, right? It was a lot of letters. So, shall we look it up? Let's look it up. Give me just a second. Okay, we've looked it up, and it is myalgic encephalomyelitis. There we go. I'm not going to say that again. I'm going to say ME for now. Until someone comes on and tells me off for calling it ME, we're going to call it either ME or CFS or chronic fatigue syndrome. And this might change based on tweets, chats, emails, whatever else. For now, we'll say ME. We're not going to say myalgic encephalomyelitis. Again, I don't even think I said it right that time. Jeepers. But you know, that's the thing. Whenever you open up that letter, right, and you see myalgic encephalomyelitis, that's a lot of letters, which means it's a proper illness, right? And again, I have to be honest, there was a relief to me there that I had an illness worthy of so many letters. Okay, you know, that's pretty exotic. And again, from someone who was even questioning they were ill at all, to have exotic, I was all right with that. So, I had this letter, had this diagnosis, relief, shorts on, ready for the ME groove, right? And I think I said to my wife, was the first person, I turned to her, and I said, oh, I got the letter back from the doctors. And I've got the ME, the Mayo, and I showed it to her rather than pronounce it. And her face dropped. And this was the first indication that I was like, ah, this might not be as simple as I thought. It's not often the way, you know, we gauge things by others' reaction to us, to it, you know. That's how we know. And I knew at that point, right, okay, there might be a situation here. So I carried on. The illness kept getting worse. I came home from holiday. It wasn't that long before I had to give up work completely after that. You know, I struggled on. I tried to cope by taking, you know, when I was working, I worked for a charity traveling around the country, recruitment, training, that kind of thing. Whenever I was on the road, I would live off, you know, really healthily. I would live off massive amounts of cigarettes and coffee, stimulants, basically, to get me through the day because my normal levels were not sufficient. So I would just, you know, whack coffee, Pepsi, and cigarettes into me and try and get through the day that way. And obviously that wasn't sustainable at all. So it wasn't too long before I had to leave work completely. That created a domino effect. I could no longer, you know, with my wife, afford where I was living in the south of England. So we decided, or the decision was made for us, I should say, financially, that we'd move back to my place of birth in Northern Ireland. And that is where I am recording this today, on my sofa, surrounded by my cats, and my wife's at work, and I have not been able to work for some time properly. Probably about, I haven't been able to work full time for over 2 years, I want to say. 2.5 years probably. I've tried to get back to work. I've tried various things, and I really want to get onto that because that's going to be really important, I hope, in what we do in this little chat we're having, this one-way chat we're having at the moment. By using the social media, hopefully we can expand it to a two-way chat. But at the moment, that's where I'm at. So I'm on the sofa. It's a... I don't know what this is. I don't even know what day it is because it doesn't really matter to me anymore. It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday at the end of October 2018 and I'm on the sofa. I haven't been able to work properly in a couple of years. And things haven't really changed. And that's where we're at. So why this? What am I doing? Good question. Thank you. One of the first things I did whenever I got ill was I searched for podcasts and tried to learn as much as I could about this illness. Obviously not how to pronounce it or what it stood for. Apart from that, you know, I tried to do a bit. You know, I joined organizations. I paid annual subscriptions. I got my newsletters. Looked for podcasts. Couldn't find too many, you know. So it's always been in my mind that that's something. I've done a few of these in the past, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. Before it was cool. Before it was cool. Before everybody had a podcast. I always wanted to do this because even if I'm not feeling well, I thought maybe that's real. And I remember something that really inspired me was I was listening to a podcast just the other day. In fact, this reminded me that it's something I wanted to do. I was listening to Scroobius Pip's podcast, the spoken word artist, the hip hop artist, Scroobius Pip. And he, on episode 8, so it was a long time ago, I think, had a lady called Jodie Ann Bickley on, who has done some fabulous stuff. Please Google her. She's got this really lovely idea about writing handwritten letters to people who are maybe going through tough times, and it's and creating connection, and it's a lovely thing. But she's a poet as well, but she had ME, and the way she was talking about ME, about the she talked a lot about very honest about how she felt about the honesty aspect, and you know what a crap illness it is, as far as maybe getting other people to understand how you're feeling and you know, being honest with yourself about how you're feeling. Anyway, her honesty really struck me, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to turn the microphone on again and start chatting, because that honesty would have really helped me a couple of years ago if I, you know, listen to the podcast then, or whenever I had to leave work, or even 10 years ago or 5 years ago, whenever I you know, was pushing on doing damage to my body because I didn't know how to deal with the illness as it was, and I wasn't able to find a way to reconsider those ambitions and review the ambitions for the day, or the lofty schemes at the time. Not very good at it now either, I have to be honest, but getting slightly better, I think. But that podcast, that simple message would have really helped me. So I'm hoping that through sharing my experience on a week by week basis, whether it's good or bad, you know, good or bad, we should develop a scale. Shouldn't we? These are questions. And that's the point of this thing, right? I want to listen and chat to you, anybody. If you've got the illness, or if you're, you know, somebody who loves somebody with the illness, please get in touch. Let's do this now, and we'll do it again at the end, shall we? So, get my cheat sheet out here. So, we've got email. You can email me. And we can have a chat over the phone, over Skype, and you can come on to call the show would be a bit grand, wouldn't it? You can come on the podcast. So if you email me at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com, that's itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. I'm at Twitter at, now this is a bit that's going to be a little confusing perhaps, It's Zero, All About Me. Or if you're British and or from somewhere else that calls zero not, then it would be Not All About Me. So it's the number zero or not all about me. It's clever. Clever thing that I did there, right? So it doesn't work if I keep saying zero all about me, because that doesn't really work. But I feel I need to say that because actually I think it's a smaller audience would appreciate the cleverness of not because you're not clever, just because maybe you say zero instead of not. So really it's not that clever, is it? If you want to find me on Twitter, it's zero all about me. There. I hope you're happy now. So get in touch, come on the show, tell me stuff. So let's wrap up pretty early here today, shall we? And we'll see what happens. Gonna get some people on. I did join a couple of support groups, I think, as I said, over here in Northern Ireland. I'm going to chat to some of the people from those support groups. We'll hear their stories. You've heard a tiny bit of mine. Sometime in the future, we'll hear about my attempts to deal with my illness, fight against my illness, which included running a marathon in the full sway of ME. Surprisingly, that didn't heal me, didn't cure me, you know. We can talk about the science and the medical opinions. We can talk about graded exercise therapy. We can talk about trials. But you guys are going to need to help me out there, because I'm just a guy with ME, you know. So let's create a collection of information for people who are like us, and that would be nice, I think. So let's do that. Okay, so yeah, let's wrap this up, and next week we might have a guest, or it'll be me, because my ME's kicked in really bad, you know, mumbling into the microphone. But either way, we'll try and have a weekly show, and we'll see what happens. So please get in touch. It's really not all about me at gmail.com or Twitter, zero all about me. See, I'm a defeated man. Not even saying the not anymore. That's, you know, I was really excited about that. Now I look at it, it's just another failure in life, isn't it? All right. You know, I'll say this. Like, I have ME. I'm not working today. You know, I probably won't be working tomorrow. I may not go out today. I probably won't go out today. I may not move that much today. I may not be able to enjoy a book today. But you know what? I still have a lot in my life to be happy for and to be grateful for. And hopefully, you know, we can share that with each other as well. Because this is a crap illness. No matter how many letters it has in it, it is a crap illness. I know that. You know that. So let's talk, whether it's good or whenever it's crap. We've got this. Let's see what we can do with it. All right, I'm Paddy, and I will talk to you again very soon. Cheers.